call hopefully Monday or Tuesday to get into outpatient therapy, occupational therapy, and have someone help me professionally with my left leg. It's doing fine. Everything's going good. I'm now supposed to be putting 75% of my weight on my left leg when I walk on the walker, and I'm having a hard time doing that. Not because I don't think the leg can do it, but because mentally, I want to put my weight on this walker. And so when I walk very slow, trying to concentrate. I'm putting all my weight on that one leg, and it's just hard to do because there's the fear of all these things. So I'm hoping I can get in to see somebody, and they can show me how to get over these hurdles and how to do these things. I appreciate your prayers up to this point, and again, we pray that you would help in that area. Brother Darrell's still a week and a half away, but the 22nd, he'll be going in for surgery down in Morgantown, West Virginia. And so we need to really keep him in prayer for the surgery on his leg. He sent me an email that talked about all that they're going to do to that leg and repairing, trying to fix what they did wrong the first time and then do it right a second time. And so you pray for him as he goes in on the 22nd and remember him in prayer for that. Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 14. Two very familiar verses, verse 14 and 15. We'll read these two verses, then we'll pray. Hebrews chapter 12, beginning in verse number 14. The Bible says this, follow peace with all men, and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Let's go to the Lord together in prayer. Father, we thank you for this hour that's before us, that we can come together. We thank you for the singing. We thank you, God, for the young people that came up and sang from downstairs. And Father, as Brother Westover has mentioned, we pray your blessing on their lives, your protection over them. God, you would help us to be a good and a godly influence in them and plant a seed that will never be plucked away. We pray for this church in Yuma, Arizona, for Bobby Robertson, the pastor there, that Father, you'd bless that church this morning with the time difference. I'm sure they're just getting up and getting ready to start their day. So we pray you'd bless that church, help it to be a lighthouse in their community, help them to reach folks for Christ. Bless the Christians that gather in their church facility this morning. Bless the preacher, fill them with the Spirit of God, and give them the message that would encourage those folks today. We pray for Brother Oziel Jeffries this morning, God. He was in the hospital this week, and Father has been sent home with some medication and is expecting a trip to Columbus, Ohio, to have some surgery there. We pray that you would prepare him and calm his heart and his nerves as he's apprehensive about that. We do pray for Brother Darrell and his upcoming surgery, that God, you would guide the hands of the doctors and surgeons, and Father, help them, please, to do the right things and get everything done correctly. And we pray even now for his healing process that you would raise him back up. And Father, may it be an easier time than it was last time for him. We pray for our service now that you'd speak to our hearts. God, help us for the next few minutes just to put away the anxiety and the activities of life. And Father, focus on what you have for us this morning. I believe, God, you have something for each and every one of us today. So I pray you would speak to hearts. Most of all, should there be one today that's without Jesus Christ in our midst, may you speak to that heart. Show them your great love for them that was expressed at Calvary when Jesus died for their sins. Father, show them his invitation to come unto me, all the ye that labor and are heavy laden. And we pray they would trust Christ today. Bless your word, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. It's a little different sitting up here. I'm too low. And it's hard to see my notes looking down from there. When I'm sitting in my desk and studying, they're right there. But this is a little different. So give me just a moment if you would. I want to ask you three questions this morning as we look at Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14, and especially verse 15. I want to ask you this, and I kind of led into this Wednesday night at the end of our Bible study on the church. I asked this question, how many of you have ever been done wrong? Raise your hand. How many of you have ever been done wrong? All right, for those of you that are not raising your hand, congratulations. I don't know that there was anybody that didn't raise their hand, but we have all been done wrong, either by a family member, someone in our family that falsely accused us, told a lie about us, slandered us, did us wrong, maybe financially. Maybe it wasn't a family member, but maybe it was a friend that betrayed us, a friend that sided against us, a friend that left us in the lurch or departed when we needed them the most. Maybe it was a co-worker, someone at work that turned against us or spread rumors or said things falsely. Maybe it was a neighbor, someone that lives close to us. But all of us have experienced the thing of hurt having been done wrong. Now, the next question is, how many of us, when we were hurt, when we were betrayed, when we were disappointed, how many of us got angry? Let me see your hand. How many got angry? Oh, we've got honest people here this morning. That's great. All right? You get angry. That's a natural reaction. We get angry when we're done wrong, when we're misrepresented, when our image is hurt, when our testimony is damaged. It's only natural, and it happens to all of us. Now, I don't want you to raise your hand on the next one, please. But I want you to answer this question. You've been done wrong. You got angry. But I wonder how many of us have never gotten over it. You know, when I said, how many of you have been done wrong, the first thing that came to your mind was that person or that circumstance or that thing you went through that made you angry. You didn't just raise your hand because you just know you've been done wrong sometime. You thought of the very thing. Most of you probably thought of the very thing the minute you raised your hand. Now, I'd like to say, you know, we say this a lot of times, forgive and forget. And I want you to hear it from this preacher this morning. Only God can do that. A lot of people beat themselves up because they'll say, preacher, I've forgiven them, but I haven't forgotten them. Well, you don't necessarily need to. If I were to come to you and ask you your name and you said, I forgot, I would question your mental capabilities. And I've got to be honest, if somebody's ever done you wrong and you just say, well, I've forgotten all about that, I would question your mental capabilities. Because we just don't forget. It's in our DNA. It's the way we're constructed. We don't forget things like that. And that's not really a problem. It's not a problem to remember that we were done wrong. In fact, that's a learning experience. We learn from those things, and we ought to learn from those things. Well, that person did me wrong. I'm going to be careful trusting them next time. If you don't learn that lesson, there's something wrong there. So it's not wrong to not forget that you went through wrongs, but it is wrong not to forgive. And sometimes that forgiveness is not a one-time thing. I don't know about you, but there have been some things I've experienced in my life where somebody's done me wrong that I believe with all my heart I've forgiven them. But something happens during the course of my life. I'll be going on minding my own business someday, and as it were, the devil sits down and perches on my shoulder and reminds me of that thing that happened so long ago, and I find it coming up all over again. Does that ever happen to you? You know you've buried it. You know you've forgiven them. You know it's in the past. But the devil's just good at bringing it back up again. And if we're not careful, that anger comes up all over again a second time. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15 says, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you. It's not just people. Sometimes it's circumstances. Folks that have gone through a bitter and ugly divorce. Maybe you've been through financial difficulties, bankruptcy, or just difficult times. Maybe on the job another quote-unquote less deserving person got the promotion before you did. There are a lot of circumstances in life that can cause us to be hurt, that can cause us to get angry. And that can cause us to be bitter. Sometimes it's God. Now let me say, first of all, it's not that He deserves the anger or the bitterness, but sometimes we simply blame Him. Sometimes we question where He's at in circumstances. Sometimes when we've been defrauded or falsely accused or things like that, we think, God, why aren't you siding with me? Why aren't you helping me out in here? You know these rumors are not true. Why don't you do something? I remember many, many years ago, we were still on Madison Avenue, and I was working for the supply company and going out and calling on customers, and I went to a customer in Cambridge, one of the local companies, and I was in there visiting with them in their showroom, and I don't know if they at that point found out or if they knew I was a pastor. I forget how the thing actually worked. But they got the conversation that I was a pastor of a church here in Cambridge. And the one girl, probably in her 30s at that time, she said, you know, I know dirt on every preacher in this town. She said, but I've never heard anything about you. You know what I told her? You haven't talked to the right people. I don't know if she's waiting for me to say, well, that's because there's no dirt. I'm just saying, you haven't found the right people. There's always somebody out there that's going to say something that's going to try to damage you or hurt you. That's just the nature of this life. And sometimes we blame God when that happens. Sometimes it's not the circumstances, it's not the Lord, it's not people. Sometimes, and I'm finding this out, it's our health. When you go through something for a long period of time, and I'm talking beyond what I'm going through, when you have illnesses that go for a long time, or maybe the doctor says those words, you've got cancer. That hurt feeling, that what did I do to deserve that? Why me? Our health can cause us to have some anger in it and some resentment in it. I believe it happened even to Job in Job chapter 10 and verse 1. Job said this, "My soul is weary of my life. I will speak in the bitterness of my soul." You remember the story of Job covered with boils from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. And I told this to the college students the other day. We read that story and we read that story. We read about Job being covered with boils from the top of his head for that period of time. And it's academic to us. It's intellectual to us. Stop and think of what it was like for him for all those days to have open sores all over his body and taking a piece of pottery and scraping those things off and trying to get that off, and the agony and the turmoil and we don't blame him for saying, "In the bitterness of my soul have I spoken." And maybe some of us have experienced those problems with our health that caused us just to be angry, that caused us to be bitter, to question God. God, why me? Why do I go through this? I'm serving you. I love you. I'm your child. Why do I go through these things? All these different things that cause bitterness. I think of Joseph. Remember the story of Joseph in the book of Genesis? If ever there was a man that had opportunity or chance or justified, can we say? And that's what we say, I'm justified to be bitter. I'm right to be bitter. I deserve to be bitter. Joseph could have said that. Betrayed by his brothers. Thrown down into a pit. Pulled out only to be sold into slavery. Sold into slavery and then sold to Potiphar. And when he began to succeed at what he was doing as a servant in Potiphar's house, Potiphar's wife falsely accused him of attacking and assaulting her. And in that the result of that false accusation, being thrown into prison, while he's in prison, after a little while, finally, the butler and the baker, you know the story, get thrown into prison. Joseph interprets the dreams. It comes to pass that way, and they forget, the one forgets him when he gets out for another 2 years. And Joseph goes through all 22 years of his life were spent in that pit, in that prison, in Pharaoh's heart, in the prison, and all these different things. 22 years of his life wasted. And surely he had a reason to be bitter. But we read at the end, God had a plan in all this. That's what he told his brothers. You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. What a wonderful attitude. And can I say, what a lofty attitude. And that ought to be our goal, to have that attitude about the things that we go through, from people, from circumstances, from health, from blaming, whatever it is, that we would have that attitude, that we don't have that bitterness in us. Notice it says in Hebrews 12 and verse 15, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness. You know what I noticed? It doesn't say, unless the root of bitterness springs up. It's not singular. It's not even unless a root, it's any. You know what any is? That's plural. That's more than one. I asked you at the beginning of the service, how many of you have ever been hurt? How many of you have ever been done wrong and you raised your hand? You know what the honest truth is? It's happened more than once. Most of us, if we want somebody that's only been done wrong one time, we've got to go downstairs to the nursery and talk to them. But those of us that are old enough to be in this church service this morning, we've been done wrong more than one time. And these are various different things that happen to us. And we've got to be watching because these roots of bitterness are going to spring up in all kinds of different places. And we don't know where they're going to come up at. You know how this works if you've had a garden. You know how this works if you've got a flower bed. We'll come here to the church in the summertime with these two flower beds, and when all the flowers are in there, just beautiful out there. But you know what else grows in those flower beds? Weeds. And you know what? We've come in the summer, we'll come in the spring, and we'll go out there and a bunch of folks will come and we'll pick all those weeds out and we'll get rid of them, and that's good until next spring. No, it isn't. It's good for about 2 or 3 weeks, and all of a sudden I come in the morning and I look and there's something coming up. Wait a minute, we pulled that one last time. Somebody said, well, if you pull it up by root, it doesn't grow back again. Well, his twin brother came and settled in his spot then. And these things, they keep coming up. And that's what the Bible is giving us a picture of. These roots of bitterness are going, and I like the way it says, springing up. They show up unexpectedly. You don't plan on being hurt. You don't plan on being done wrong. But you've got to be prepared for it, because it's going to happen. And if we're not careful, being hurt, we can't stop. Being angry is not a sin. The Bible says, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath. Some things are going to happen. They're going to make you angry. How you deal with that anger shows whether we please God or not. So being done wrong is going to happen. Getting angry about it is going to happen. But letting the root of bitterness hang in there is where the problem comes for so many of us. Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you. There are multiple sources for bitterness. There are multiple times for bitterness. But there's one result. It troubles you. Notice it says in verse 15, let any root of bitterness springing up trouble the one that did you wrong. No, that's not who it troubles. The one that slandered you. No, it doesn't bother them a bit. The one that got that promotion that didn't deserve it. No, they're gloating over that. You know, the only person that gets hurt by bitterness is the bitter person. The person you're bitter against probably has forgotten all about it or never even knew it happened. I'm turning this over because there's something I wrote later, but it fits right here. Buddy Hackett. You remember Buddy Hackett? The comedian, I don't know if he's still alive or not, he did all the Love Bug, I remember him from the Love Bug movies. But he said this, and again, consider the sources, Buddy Hackett, but he said, I never carry a grudge. You know why? He said, because while you're carrying a grudge, they're out dancing. And that pretty much describes it. When we are struggling with bitterness, when we're struggling with a grudge, the person to whom we're bitter and the person to whom we're holding the grudge is probably out having a good time. They are completely unaware that you're going through that. I remember many years ago, a relative said something derogatory about me. And it happened. And it was probably, it was at Josh's funeral back in 2011. Back at Josh's funeral, that relative came to the funeral and he said, you remember when I said this about you? And I said, no, I don't remember. And it took me a while and I remember the occasion and what happened. But I don't know, that was 9, 10, 11 years. And he had been carrying that for all that time. That he said something and he knew it wasn't right and he knew it was wrong. And he came and he told me, and I'd forgotten all about it. Now that's pretty miraculous right there in itself. But I had forgotten all about that one. That was such a little thing that it really didn't matter that much. But he had it eaten him up for a decade. He'd never forgotten about it. And that was the first opportunity we got to see each other again. The first thing he did is come and talk about it. That's what happens with our bitterness. It eats us up and doesn't affect the other person at all. That's what the Bible said in verse number 15. Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you. I wonder how many of us this morning are being troubled by bitterness. How many of us are holding on or hanging on or have not forgiven? Again, I'm not telling you got to forget, but have not forgiven that wrong that was done against us, and it eats us up. You know how I know that? Because the Bible says that root of bitterness springs up and troubles you. I want to give you four things that bitterness does to us. Four ways that bitterness troubles us. This won't be long. This will be fairly short this morning. Maybe we can get to the restaurant before the Methodists do. I doubt it. They're already done. All right, I want to give you four things that bitterness does that troubles us. And I hope you'll get these four things down, because I think you'll find them. If not, if you don't need it right now, you know somebody that does. You know somebody that's harboring a grudge, that's holding ill feeling, that's not getting rid of their anger. And we'll talk about that in point number four, what that does to us. But we all know somebody like that, if it's not us ourselves. And this is a good lesson for when next time you're reminded of when that person wronged you and you thought you buried it and you thought you'd forgotten about it, but it springs back up again and you have to deal with that root of bitterness again. Remember, this is what bitterness does. This is how it troubles you. Number one, bitterness devastates you spiritually. Bitterness devastates. How does bitterness trouble me? It devastates me spiritually. Look, if you would, at the book of Acts, chapter 8. The book of Acts, chapter 8. I want you to notice a fellow here that had a spiritual problem. Now, there's a great debate over this man among Bible scholars, Bible teachers, whatever you want to say it. Some say, yes, he was saved. Some say, no, he wasn't saved. And at different times, I can go with either one of the arguments. Sometimes I read it and say, yeah, he's saved and had a problem. The other times I say, no, that guy couldn't have been saved if he acted like that. It's a spiritual problem that causes us to not even be able to know whether he's saved or not. And notice what happened here. This is a fellow named Simon. And look down in Acts chapter 8 and verse number 23. Acts chapter 8 and verse 23. Here's what Paul says to this fellow Simon. He says in verse 22, "Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee." He had a problem in his heart. Verse 23, "For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness." The gall of, you know what gall is? It's a, like a drink, like a vinegar. It's a very bitter, distasteful substance. And what Paul said here to this man, caught up in his sin, caught up in his bitterness, he said, "You are in the gall of bitterness." You ever seen anybody that drank something very bitter? Seen their facial expression? It's not a good experience. It's not something you desire. Oh, I want to try that again. That's the effect it has. Spiritually, that's what bitterness does to us. It's a gall. Here he says, "You're in the gall of bitterness and the bond of iniquity." This is a spiritual problem. And when you and I are overcome or overrun by bitterness, it will devastate us. It will devastate you. This is going to be rough. Hanging on to those bitter feelings will devastate you as a believer just as much as pornography will. Now, I say that to say that you say, "Well, yeah, I've got this problem with bitterness, preacher, but at least I'm not into something terrible." I'm telling you that that bitterness will devastate you spiritually as much as being a drunkard will devastate you spiritually. We want to categorize, "Oh, well, this won't affect me." No. No, your sin affects your relationship with God. And as long as you're carrying that unforgiving spirit and that bitterness, you're not hurting anybody else. You're hurting yourself. And this man in Acts chapter 8 was in the gall of bitterness and the bond of iniquity. Whether a believer or unbeliever, we're not really sure right there, but it can happen to believers. We can be devastated spiritually. Look over at Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Look, if you would, at verse 31. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 31. Give you time to find it there, because I want you to see the verse. I hope you write these down, maybe underline some of these things in your Bible, make a note there. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31, the Apostle Paul wrote this, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." Now, you know what I get out of that verse? That none of those stand alone. That when you're guilty of one of those, they all group together. Bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking, and malice all go together. And if you're caught up in that right there, your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ cannot be right. If we're caught up in right there, how in the world do we get down on our knees and pray to God? When we're filled with bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking, and malice. When we've not forgiven. When we're carrying that grudge from day to day to day. I don't care if you were done wrong and you know they were wrong and it's proven they were wrong. When you and I carry it, it doesn't hurt them. It only hurts us. You know how I know that affects you spiritually? Because look at the verse before it. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. Then he goes into, let all bitterness and wrath and anger. There's a connection between those two verses. They're not isolated verses. And when you and I get caught up in those feelings of verse number 31, which includes this bitterness, this root of bitterness, it affects our relationship with God. The Holy Spirit of God cannot work in us and through us when we're hardened with these things. What a contrast between those and those fruits of the spirits in Galatians 5:26. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, meekness, tenderness, temperance, all those things. What a difference between the two. That's a relationship with God. These things in Ephesians 4:31, bitterness, wrath, clamor, anger, they affect us spiritually. What will bitterness do? It will devastate you spiritually. Number two, bitterness destroys you physically. Bitterness destroys you physically. We'd like to say, well, bitterness is simply a spiritual problem. And can I say, number one, it is a spiritual problem, so don't write it off as anything else. Don't say, well, you know, I, like I said, I'm justified in being bitter. I'm right because I was done wrong. I have every right to feel this way. It devastates you spiritually and it destroys you physically. We've all been there. We know it consumes us. It affects us. Look, if you would, at Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. Anytime we go to Romans now, I'm reminded of what we're studying in Sunday school, so you know that this is familiar territory. In Romans chapter 3, it talks about our sinfulness, every one of us, like Job's boils from the top of our head to the bottom of our feet, our sinfulness is thorough. In Romans 3, when we study, our sinfulness is universal. Our sinfulness is thorough. It says in verse 13, their throat is an open sepulcher, an open grave. With their tongues they have used deceit, the poison of asses unto their lips. Notice verse 14, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their mouth, a physical attribute. It goes on to talk about their feet in verse 15, their ways, their eyes in verse number 18. Their mouth is filled with bitterness and cursing. You know, can you write this down this morning? We live in a bitter world. We live in a bitter world. All it takes is for the other side to do something you don't agree with, and people are bitter. It's a sad, sad day that we live in. And you go out in town, you go into the stores and you hear conversations and overhear conversations of other people. I went in Wednesday, as I mentioned, I went into occupational therapy and I sat down in my place and filled out my paperwork, and some guy was sitting here and some lady sitting here, and they apparently know each other. They've been going there for a regular basis for some time, and I don't experience this a lot. I don't go to doctor's offices or dentist's offices a lot of times, so I'm not around these conversations, and I just felt dirty by the time I left. Their conversation between each other was just complaining and bitter and mad and angry at relatives and friends and this, and they're, you know, oh, you remember so-and-so, this and that? And I just thought, good God, I'd hate to live like that. I'd hate to have that all-consuming thing. And I'm not saying that that's why they're in occupational therapy, that they're there, they have these problems because of that, but I can tell you this, it sure does hinder their improvement. Their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. It affects us physically. It destroys us physically. There has been research done that shows that bitterness, and of course the accompanying things, the anger, the anxiety, bitterness can lead to glandular problems. Now, isn't that something? Your internal organs can be affected by your unforgivingness. by our bitterness, by our hanging on. Our inner makings are affected by it. How many people have had ulcers because they worried and worried and worried? Can't let go. Can't let it go. And that's the same thing with bitterness. It affects our, they say it affects our blood pressure. It gives us high blood pressure. I can say amen to that. I mean, you know that when you're done wrong and you get angry, you know your blood pressure goes up right there. And then if you carry that bitterness, what's going to happen? We're not hurting anybody else. We're not hurting the person that did us wrong. We're destroying ourselves physically. They say it leads to heart problems, cardiac arrest, and that's not surprising. They say it leads to ulcers, I mentioned already. Even one doctor said that 90% of mental health patients have their issue because of things related to bitterness and anger and temper and things along that line. 90% of mental health issues related to this one very thing. There's a doctor named S.I. McMillan. He wrote a book called None of These Diseases. And this book, if you Google it, if you look it up on Amazon, it has sold 1 million copies. It has been a bestseller for a long, long time. None of These Diseases. And in this book, he attributes 50 different diseases, 50 different things because of bitterness. Now again, like Ephesians 4:31, and the things that accompany bitterness, anger and clamor and wrath. 50 different diseases. You know why you and I need to get rid of bitterness? Not because the other person doesn't deserve it. Not because they didn't really do us wrong. But because it only hurts us. It hurts us spiritually in our relationship with God. It hurts us physically in our body in this life, carrying that bitterness around. Then number three. Number one, it devastates you spiritually. Number two, it destroys you physically. Number three, it discourages you emotionally. It discourages you emotionally. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been bitter? You ever been angry? It affects going out the door of your house. It affects getting in your car and driving to work. It affects everything you do. It's with you all the time. Bitterness. Mark this down. Bitterness is an emotion. Bitterness is not a tangible thing. We wish it was. If it was something we could burn, we could burn it. If something we could throw in the trash, we'd throw it in the trash. Something we could stomp out, we'd stomp out. But it's not a physical thing. It's an emotion. You know what Ephesians 5 says? Husbands, love your wives. Love. Is that an emotion? Yes. Now we can choose to love or choose not to love. But husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. I'm going to let that sink in for about an hour. Love your wives and be not bitter. Men, do your wives always do things exactly like you would do them? Thank you for not answering out loud. Men, do your wives ever do things the way you would do them? No. I knew it'd be that guy. Now we can turn it around, can't we? Wives, do your husbands, does he have a to-do list? Does he have a honey-do list? Does it have more than 50 items on it right now? There's always reason, there's always reason to be bitter. Bitterness hits everyone, and there's always, if you're looking for it, you will find a reason to be bitter. You don't have to search very far. Between your children and your spouse, between your immediate family, your extended family, your neighbors, your friends, your church family, there's always an excuse to be bitter about something. And it's a decision that we choose to make because it's an emotion we have control over. Husbands, that's the verse was Colossians 3:19 if you're writing it down. Colossians 3:19, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. There's a lot of bitterness in marriages. A lot of bitterness. And you can't help but see it. You can't hide that. You can't sweep it under the rug or the carpet. It's there. It's noticeable. It's an emotion that discourages us. We can never, John led us to the song, Victory in Jesus. We can never have victory when spiritually we're devastated, physically we're destroyed, and emotionally we are discouraged. You know what we say sometimes? Don't ask people how you're doing, because they might tell you for about 30 minutes. And you'll see that they are discouraged emotionally. They are depressed over something that's happened that they've never let go of. It discourages you emotionally. Number four, and lastly, it distances you socially. Get this down. It distances you socially. Look there again at Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 15. We focused on the lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you. There's the source. It troubles you. But notice the rest of the verse. And thereby many be defiled. Many be defiled. We don't have the time this morning, but this verse is a quote from the book of Deuteronomy. And in the book of Deuteronomy, if you read that later, you'll find out that this root of bitterness, we're making an application this morning as I'm preaching. But this root of bitterness is actually a person. He is the root of bitterness. And he affects everybody else that's around him. He is full of anger and wrath and clamor and malice and evil speaking. And he troubles everybody he gets around. That's the literal interpretation. If we go back to Deuteronomy and see the reference, it's talking about a person that is bitter and affecting everybody else around them. And Paul makes the application of it to us here, but he says, and many thereby, many others, we're all affected by a bitter person. A bitter person, hanging around a bitter person, will make you bitter. So you know what the best thing you can do is? Avoid them. Avoid them. If you don't want the bitterness to spread, avoid them. Say, good day, mate, and walk on your way. Do whatever it takes. But don't let that bitterness affect you. Because if it does, it affects you spiritually, physically, and emotionally. It affects us socially. Lest others be defiled. It spreads. One preacher said it this way. A person that's bitter is like a porcupine. Got a lot of good points, but you don't want to be around them. And when there's a person, we might say, well, you know, they've got these qualities and that, but that bitterness is the thing that's going to affect us. That bitterness is the thing. When a person is bitter, they are harsh in their judgment of others. You know why they're that way? Because they're bitter. You ever met somebody like that? They're just nothing positive to say. Everything's harsh. That's because they're carrying a bitterness. When a person's bitter, they're very critical. Find fault with everything. I'm teaching you to be a psychologist here right now from the pages of Scripture. That when you see somebody like this, you see the symptoms and you know what the problem is. They're carrying a grudge. They're carrying a burden. They're carrying unforgiveness. They're carrying bitterness. And it's affecting them physically, as we said. And their hearts, they're critical. They're judgmental. They're highly sarcastic. And I'm always careful with that one because I love being sarcastic. But they're highly sarcastic. And they're always angry. Their mouths, the Bible says, are full of bitterness. And it affects them. I started out by asking you a question this morning, and that question was, how many of you have ever been done wrong? How many of us ever have had something happen that gave us a reason to be bitter? And the truth is, all of us. How many of us, when that happened, got angry about it, and all of us agreed? Yes, we've all gotten angry when we were done wrong. Hurt, whatever it was, maliciousness. But then I said, how many of us have never gotten over it? Never let go. And I wonder this morning, how many are just saying, there's something in my life. There's some feelings I've harbored against a person that probably doesn't even know about it. Or maybe they do. But you're harboring those feelings and it's not harming or hurting them at all. It's simply affecting you. It's affecting me. You say, preacher, what's the remedy for that? Go to Ephesians 4 one more time. We'll finish up there. Go to Ephesians 4. Those passages that we read that talk so much about it. The wonderful thing about the Word of God is that when it reveals a problem, it gives us a solution. See, the world can't do that. They can point out the problems, but they can't give us the answer. Now, you and I know that the answer to almost every problem the world has is the Lord Jesus Christ. But they can't figure that out. The wonderful thing about the Bible is that when it tells us, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption, and verse 31 of chapter 4, and let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. All right, how do I do that? It's not in my nature to do that. When someone does me wrong, I don't want to forgive. I want to get even. So the Bible tells us in verse 32 how to take care of that bitterness. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as Christ, for God's sake, hath forgiven you. It sounds simple, I know. It sounds rudimentary. Oh, I tried that. No, you didn't. No, you didn't. Because you can't try that and fail. That's a promise of God. That when we are kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, it affects us and it gets us over the problem. Then bitterness no longer troubles us. The Bible says in Galatians, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. We struggle with those emotions. We struggle with that feeling. We struggle with the disappointment. We struggle with the hurt. And that's only natural for us. And these things will pop up from time to time and from different places. And they'll spring up. And if we allow them, they'll trouble us. But we need to get the victory. We need to forgive. We need to be kind. We need to be tender-hearted. That's not the way most of us want to react when we're hurt. But that's the way that keeps us strong spiritually, physically, emotionally, and socially. Lest any root of bitterness trouble up, or lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and many thereby be defiled. Let's stand together this morning with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. It's no mystery what the invitation is about this